beautiful queens and kings out there in the grand universe. How are you doing today?
I hope you're doing wonderful, just marvelous, just fantastical. Welcome to this episode today. Woo! We are going to be discussing about breakouts after waxing. I've had people tell me, why do I break out after waxing on my brows? Or I've had some people tell me, I don't like getting my brows waxed because I break out. And this is a very common occurrence for a lot of people. And I'm gonna give you guys some information on why that's possibly happening and how you can avoid it. And so knowing all this stuff so then you can still get your eyebrows waxed and not have the fear of breaking out. Yes. Oh my gosh. So we're going to talk about that. And then we are also going to kind of talk a little bit into what a histamine reaction is as well. So this is kind of we're feeding two birds with one seed because we're not killing any birds, right? We want them to live. But we're feeding two birds with one seed today because histamine reaction goes into play with the breakouts that you're experiencing for brow waxing. But before we get on in with this business, I'm going to move my mic a little bit. Sorry. I need to adjust it a little. Just a smidge, so I can make sure that it's actually picking up my voice very well. I have noticed like some of the episodes that the sound quality is a little bit low, so I turned up my mic. I also have been adjusting the intro song too, so now it's not like a boom into your ear. It's like a subtle sweetness of whispers into your ear. So it crescendos up and then it decrescendos down. So it's not overkill on your eardrums. I don't want you guys to lose your hearing. Because if you're like me, I turn everything volume to the full max. Because I like to mute out all the sounds. I do have those AirPods that do turn off the sound, but those are my business AirPods, and I like to keep that with my business stuff. And I have the regular AirPods that it still lets outside noises in, so then it you don't get the full tone of things. Because if you're like me, I get distracted of things, sights, sounds, smells, and I'm like, oh. Yes, so I've been making adjustments. Let me know if it makes a difference, because I like to get an outsider perspective on this. Alrighty, so brow waxing. I know a lot of people are afraid of getting their eyebrows waxed. Some people actually get either brow waxed or brow threading. I guess this should be more of the scale of or umbrella of doing hair removal for your brows. I don't think really this happens a lot with tweezing, but for sure with brow waxing or threading. For those of you who don't know what threading is a fantastic service that I actually do provide. I love getting my brows threaded. But brow threading is a nice alternative to waxing, especially for those who have very, very, very compromised skin. Not necessarily sensitive skin, just compromised skin, because at the end of the day, everybody's skin turns red after getting waxed or threaded. It's just a natural thing that happens with this service. But if you have compromised skin, so for example, if you exfoliated recently in the past 7 days, or if you're on a certain medication that does interfere with your skin and thins out. Oops, I just bumped into the mic. That thins out. Ugh, Mike, stop it. It's trying to box with me, and like we're kind of swerving and bopping and weaving. But anyways, so if you have a compromised skin, so if you're on certain medications that interferes with your skin and thins out your skin, or medications that thin out your blood, or if you have an autoimmune disorder, or if you have rosacea or eczema and such, this is where. Or I forgot to add, if you're on Accutane or any type of acne medications that you have been prescribed with, when you are on certain medications or have these certain skin compromisations, this will really what's the word? I was about to say hurt, but it doesn't hurt your skin. But it really, it can really affect the way that your skin reacts to the waxing process. It can actually lift on your skin. And so when lifting, when we say lifting, it actually lifts your skin off of the skin. It lifts the skin off the skin. It literally lifts your skin off, and it does not feel comfortable. And you can look up what is skin lifting, because there is a difference between skin lifting and when your skin gets burned from the wax being too hot. But these are common things, and these are things that could possibly happen, but those are things that we try to avoid to do. Does that make sense? So it shouldn't be common for it to happen to you, but it's a thing that is, I'm confusing myself of how I'm trying to explain that. It's a thing that the estheticians and licensed estheticians and cosmetologists are aware of, and it's something that we're commonly trying to avoid. I guess that's how I should have put it. But yes, skin lifting is what we're trying to avoid. Overexfoliating the skin is what we're trying to avoid. So this is where brow threading can actually be really, really beneficial for the consumer, even for your upper lip and chin and sideburns, because this is a nice alternative to where it doesn't react, makes your skin react in an uncomfortable way. And some people have said that they prefer brow threading than waxing because the way it looks or the pain wise. Regardless, when you're removing hair, it's going to hurt. It's just the nature of the beast. You guys heard me say that repetitive in my waxing episodes, but it's just the nature of the beast of waxing. You are physically removing hair from your body, so it is going to hurt. So there's no such thing as painless wax, because I know that's been a thing that's been up in the air, and I've heard for the past 5 years of my life and this field, my career. There's no such thing as waxing that is painless. Some people prefer getting wax with honey or sugar. Why do I say honey? Sugar waxing, because they feel like it helps with the pain. Regardless, it's still the same. We're removing hair from the body, and regardless, it's going to hurt. Okay? Do we have that cleared up now? But yeah, so some people like going to brow wax because they believe that. And like I said, sometimes people like brow wax because the way it makes their brows look. Again, I think this is more of the way that the brow artist is. It just depends on their craft and their skill and how they perform the service. So I don't think one is better than the other one, but there are definitely options for the consumer to see what is best for them. My goal is to educate you guys to choose wisely of what you want and give you the proper amount of information that I have, that I'm aware, the knowledge that I have and aware of. Oh my God, my brain. I'm trying to help educate you guys so then you can make a wise decision, so then you can have a good experience. Plain and simple. I don't know why I try to make that overly complicated. But yes. So with any type of facial hair removal or just body removal in general, like I said, I've had people tell me that big time with brows that they don't like to get them waxed or threaded or any type of professional service done with those of removing the hairs, excess hairs that they would like, because they break out. And I have experienced this as well myself, and I know it's something that can make you feel self-conscious of yourself, especially with breakouts in general. It's something that can make you feel not as confident in yourself, and you feel like, you know, people are staring at you and staring at this thing. So we're going to talk about this. We're going to get some information out there to help you guys be okay with it and how to avoid the breakouts, because it could be a mixture of what you're doing at home, what you're doing after the service, the 24 hours after the service. And it can also be what the professional, licensed professional, okay, go to a licensed professional. Do not go to someone who is not licensed, okay? Don't do it. I'm gonna be upset with you. I've been watching Joshua Weinstein. He's the one that does But Better videos on YouTube. If you like watching cooking shows or videos, that's me. And he does a lot of funny. He's a character, but he's actually in Houston, which is funny. So, but on his videos, he'll call himself Papa. So he's like, Papa no like. So like, don't use the same knife that you're cutting your raw meat with, and then using that same knife and cutting your vegetables with, because Papa no like. Okay, and one Papa. Just watch it. You'll see. I, of course, I'm not going to be able to do it as good as him, because that's him. That's not me. Anyway, so yes, go to a licensed professional. Don't go to someone who is not licensed. And this goes with waxing at home. I know, it's cheaper. I know you want to do it. It's cool to watch. But really, listen to my words and try not to wax at home. I understand, but it's just, there's so much harm that can happen. And then when that happens, most of the time, you assume that's how it's going to be for when you go see a professional. Does that make sense? It puts a lot of fear into you to not want to ever do it ever again, like waxing in general. Does that make sense? Once people have a bad experience of something, they associate that in general with whatever that situation is. So that's just my two cents. But yes, I don't know where I was going there. I lost it. You guys know. Oh, I just lose it. My brain just, boop, it's gone. It's out the door. Anyway, so that makes a difference too, is waxing at home. If you are waxing at home, that can make a huge difference on you having breakouts on your face or in your brows. And my suggestions too of when you should wax before getting your makeup done or going to an event too or going on vacation. So we're going to talk a lot of things about this, okay? Alrighty. Let's take a little bit of a breather. Let's take a moment before we get into the scoop of things, and we'll go on to the break, and then we'll be right back, and I will, you know, get further into this. Yeah? Sounds great? Sounds like a plan, Stan? All right, Jelly Bean. So I was trying to figure out how to have this laid out. So it's pretty just, it's just beautiful. A beautiful scenery, you know? Like a movie, you know? My whole script. I actually don't pre-make scripts. There are some, like, if I have things that I'm wanting to give you the definition of, I will have a script with that, like the definition of certain stuff. Or previous things like blogs that I've done, I just kind of read a little bit of it. But sometimes I really don't have scripts. And I don't know, it's kind of raw. A little bit raw and juicy. Little juicy. A little juicy. But yeah, so I was trying to figure out how I'm going to lay things out. And what I want to discuss first is I want to discuss what a histamine reaction is, because this is stuttering mess over here. A histamine reaction is actually what, ooh, let me turn that down. I'm screaming. A histamine reaction is actually what the breakout is. And this is a result from bacteria. Histamine reactions are a little bit different than a regular acne blemish or an acne breakout. A little bit different circumstance. And it usually happens within 2 days from something that has not been followed through, that should have been followed through. At both ends, the professional and the consumer. So let's talk about histamine reactions and what it is. So a histamine reaction is something that we as licensed professionals try to avoid of happening. And this is why we discuss really into depth of your pre and post care. And it's something that, like I said, we're trying to avoid. However, it is common for it to happen. And when it happens, don't be alarmed. It's nothing that's rare. It's something that's very common. And there are different histamine reactions. There are two different types. There's one that looks like chicken skin, so the pores are raised. This usually happens on the bikini area and on the legs and chest and back area, not necessarily on the brows or upper lip or chin. This is also really common for people who are first time into waxing, their waxing journey. Ooh, man, breathe. I forget to take breaths, so that's why when you're listening to my episodes, I'm like, because I'm trying to remember to breathe. But yeah, so that's a common one, especially for first-time waxers, and it usually happens after 3 sessions of waxing, and then your skin kind of gets used to it. So that's one histamine reaction. Some people mistaken this as an allergic reaction, which is going to be completely different. It's going to look way different. What a histamine reaction is basically a signal to your body that, oh my God, something just happened. Ah, alert, alert, alert. Go and heal, go and heal. So it's when the skin is affected by trauma, okay? And it's sending a signal to that area to go and heal itself. So the histamine boosts blood flow to that sensitive area, and this creates an inflammation in the skin, which is also a sign of histamine reaction. Getting into the science, Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy, Bill Nye the Science Guy. Bill, 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 Bill Nye the Science Guy. Science rules.
Oh, I just kept going and going. I couldn't stop. But with the science of histamine reaction, it's a thing that triggers your immune system, and it's a neurological system as well. So when you get a histamine reaction, it really, really, really is common for first-time waxers, because we're shocking the body. We're shocking your hair follicle, and it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You've never done this before. And why? And so the different parts of histamine reaction, it can be like a prolonged redness, how I mentioned, after waxing. It can be a little bit like hives, where it looks like the chicken skin. Sneezing is actually a really common sign, especially if you're getting your eyebrows or any facial waxing done. And the pustule bumps, which is the acne-like bumps. This one is one that we are trying to avoid, because this is the one that people are more fearful of. And this one is actually considered a bacterial histamine reaction. How long does typically a histamine reaction last? Well, if it's the normal histamine reaction, like the chicken skin, the redness, a little bit of sensitivity, it usually lasts to the end of the night or until the next morning or next day. Now, if it's the bacterial histamine reaction, this is going to last a little bit longer, because it is an acne-like bump. So it's going to last about, I tell people, about a week or two. And of course, you can always reach out to the licensed professional that did the service with you. Not anyone else, the licensed professional that did the service. If you ever have any concerns about the histamine reaction, the acne, and if it's an allergic reaction as well. When histamine reactions occur, most people commonly mistake, especially for first-time guests who are getting waxed, they can commonly mistaken it for an allergic reaction. So when they see something like the chicken skin or a little bit of redness or such happening, they instantly think it's an allergic reaction. And it's not the case. An allergic reaction is actually going to be a lot different. Your skin is going to be very, very sensitive, like more sensitive than what it should be. You will have some sensitivity after waxing, especially if you're new to this, but it shouldn't be to where it's uncomfortably painful to do anything. It will definitely not feel that way at all. Also, the area might be itchy, like very, very itchy, and you can possibly have whelps as well. So these are signs of an allergic reaction. Now, getting into the histamine reaction where it's like the acne-like, right? Because this is really what the topic or discussion today is about. This histamine reaction is actually a bacterial reaction. Now, why does this happen? I'm going to break this down into two ways. So I'm going to discuss one way of how it happens with a professional, and then the other way I'm going to discuss how it happens with the consumer. So first, the professional. When the wax technician, or the professional isn't sanitary, this is why it is extremely important to go to someone who is licensed and knows how to sanitize and disinfect and is following the proper way that we're supposed to be doing it, that is under the TDLR law, which is what our license is under, or any in any states, whoever they're under, their license are under. And this is why it's so important to go to someone who is a professional. I know some people aren't aware, but this nowadays information is all out there, so I'm sure you guys have seen people talk about this. So some ways that they need to be sanitary or clean is using their tools and disinfecting them and sanitizing them in the proper way. Also, not using the same wax stick and double dipping into the wax pot. What does this mean? So I'm sure some of you have heard, but oh geez, this makes me so, it makes me want to yell at people like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Oh my God. And so people will, I'm just going to say it. Okay. So some people will take the wax from, they'll take one wax stick, put in the wax, put it on the guest. Then they take that same wax stick and put it back into the wax. And they just keep doing that. They just keep doing that. And just like when you're double dipping a chip and dip. Oh my gosh. This is horrifying and horrible. You're cross-contaminating the wax. And I don't care what anyone says that the wax temperature is so hot that it disinfects the wax. It does not. If the wax is super hot where it cleans and burns the bacteria, that wax is going to be boiling your skin and literally melting your skin off of your body. That's how hot it should be. So when someone says that to you, or if you notice they're double dipping, I would say, I'm so sorry. I actually need to run. I have an emergency. And leave. Because you do have an emergency. You need to leave. Because this is so not sanitary at all. At all. And we get so many different people coming in. And it's just, you're just cross-contaminating that product. That product that's just, oh my gosh. Yes. So that is another way of making how it could happen. It can happen that way. Another one is if the esthetician is blowing, or the wax technician, I need to stop saying esthetician because some people are cosmetologists, blowing on the wax before they apply it on you. What are you doing? Oh my God. What are you doing? I cannot believe they do that, but they do that to cool it off. Just wait, keep twirling the wax, making sure it cools off while you have it on there, and then just apply it. You're good. Another thing, blowing on the wax to cool it off on the body. When someone applies, the wax technician is applying the wax and blowing on the wax when it's on your body. Oh my gosh, no. Or when they remove the wax and they blow on the area. No. What are you doing? What are you doing? No. I'm going to slap your hand. No. So that's some ways. And just like I said, just making sure they're sanitizing their stuff. So, and properly disinfecting it according to the rules and regulations of the license that we're under, and making sure you're updating your information with that too, and following the protocol and what it says, the rules and it's just plain and simple. And so those are some things to be mindful of. And Yeah, I don't know why people are doing that, but they're doing that. I know the wax stick. I know it's because they're trying to save money, but I mean, they're just popsicle sticks. They're not that expensive. And the blowing hole thing, I don't know who taught them that or why they think that's okay, but it's not okay. Oh, and making sure that they're washing their hands before and after and sanitizing things after too, like properly disinfecting everything and changing out their gloves and wearing gloves. Surprisingly, some people don't wear gloves when they wax. I can't fathom not wearing gloves. I just don't understand why that. I mean, because sometimes when people get waxed, they bleed. So you're going to touch the blood. And then if you're doing Brazilian waxing, you're touching a delicate area. Doctors wear gloves in that area. So why aren't you wearing gloves? I'm going to get off my soapbox. So those are some ways. Now, aftercare products or after post-treatment products that people use can also affect your skin. So if a professional is using baby oil or any type of mineral oils after waxing, these can make your skin react, and that's where you get the bumps or the acne-like bumps, the bacterial reactions. There are certain ingredients that do affect certain people differently. I personally just like to use jojoba oil because I know that I like to use I actually use fir oil, and it has a mixture of different like essential oils and stuff, like calming and soothing essential oils, but it also has jojoba oil, which is most of the time complementary to all skin types, so you don't have to have so many different oils for aftercare for waxing. But mineral oils are ones that are that makes people break out big time. And if they have synthetic fragrances in them too, that makes people break out big time. So that's how you can get acne like bumps from the professional. Sorry, professionals, I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. I'm just trying to tell you guys so you can not be afraid of it. And for the consumer, don't be afraid to ask questions. Ask a lot of questions. I love questions. And if you have a professional that it's in their ego that they know everything and they get offended by you asking questions, then that's not the right person for you. Because I believe as licensed professionals that we should always be open and able to accept all questions. No questions are dumb, and we shouldn't let them interfere with our ego, because that's how we build trust with you guys, because this is a vulnerable situation. Any of what we do, it puts people in a vulnerable situation and it can be scary. So if we can communicate better and be open-minded and be aware how we communicate with others, I think it will just create a better positive atmosphere, so then you can have a great experience. That's my whole thing, is making sure everyone has a great experience and not a horrible experience. Yes, some things can go wrong, but if you are open and honest and communicate, it is so much better and puts people at ease than trying to avoid certain things if it does happen, and then it gives people a bad taste of what that service is. Does that make sense? I need to breathe. So now we're going to go into the consumer side. So consumers or guests, why is it important for you to follow the aftercare? And it's not because we're trying to sell you products. I should say that it shouldn't be that way. But the reason why it's so important for you guys to follow the proper aftercare, especially if there's recommended products for you guys to use, is so that the esthetician or cosmetologist, wax technician, licensed professional is aware of what you're using. When we're more aware of what you're using, we can have a better analysis on letting you guys know what have possibly happened throughout and like the reactions that you're having. So if you're doing something that we're not aware of, it's hard for us to help you get through whatever's happening. And this is also why the intake form is so, so crucial and key, because we need to know all the ins and outs of what's going on so then we can do everything as best as we possibly can without you having a bad experience. So most of the products that people recommend or licensed professionals recommend are things that they've worked with, companies that they work with, and they're knowledgeable of how their products work, and they do a lot of continuing education with that product or certain ingredients or such. And so that's one thing. Another thing is with the post-care, if you go and work out in the humidity or it's hot or you're working out, you're doing stuff that's causing you to sweat, you're doing the things that are causing you to get dirty, or you're swimming, going to the lake, going to the sauna, or say you are going somewhere out and you're putting your makeup on, anything like this, it can affect your skin. And this is what's introducing the bacteria into, like, it's creating an environment for the bacteria to be, ooh, yes, some food. Ooh, nice and cozy. I'm going to live here. Okay, we're going to stay here for a little while. And this is why it said with the bacterial histamine reaction, it can actually last for about 5 to 7 days, because it takes time for that acne to run through its course. Now, if you're getting a histamine reaction with like chicken-like bumps, redness, or a little sensitivity, a little bit of tenderness, that will last for like 24 hours, and that will subside by the end of the day. But when it comes to a bacterial histamine reaction, this lasts a little bit longer because it is acne. It is a breakout. It is bacteria living in your little follicle, and it's making a little vacation there. So this is why you should avoid anything that's going to that it introduces dirt and bacteria to your skin. So sweating activities, putting makeup on your face, touching your face, swimming, saunas, geez, anything like that, that will cause you to have those acne-like bumps. Especially makeup. Oh my gosh. When you put makeup directly on your eyebrows or on your face after getting waxed, oh Lord. And we know some of us don't keep up with cleaning our brushes, because I know me, I'm a little bit lazy. And some of us also don't throw away makeup either that we've kept for since we were in high school. So this, when you get your eyebrows waxed or upper lip wax or chin wax, I recommend people doing this 7 days before getting your makeup done, or 7 days before going on vacation, or 7 days before any type of like event that's happening. So if you do have that bacterial reaction, you have some time to recover, to do some rehabilitation. So those are some ways. Like, I'm going to say too, some skincare products do cause this as well. Again, it depends. So this is why the intake form is so important for you to fill out and complete. There's certain aggressive ingredients, you would say, like retinols and stuff, that you shouldn't be using 7 days after, before and after any waxing or any type of exfoliating ingredients. Say you're using certain ingredients that, I'm going to get a little complicated. Say that you're using some oils, like face oils and stuff, that's actually not complementary to your actual skin type. This can also cause the bacterial reaction as well. And again, like I said, having dirty hands and constantly touching them after you're getting your brows waxed or chin waxed or lip wax, and you touch them right after, oh, you're introducing some things. So be mindful. I'm hoping this will help you be mindful in a way. So then, again, so you're not having fear about getting your brows waxed and thinking that this is going to happen every time, because it doesn't. I think that's pretty much it with that for home care. And like I said, makeup for sure. Making sure you're not putting makeup directly on right after. Say if you do want your brows to be fresher than a peppermint before going to an event or getting your makeup done. I keep saying getting your makeup done because mostly it's common. People get their brows done quite soon before they get their makeup done, feeling all glamorous. I would say to wait 7 days, so get them done the week prior. But if you're one of those people that want them fresh, like super fresh, super fresh, then I would do brow threading. Because if you get it done the day before, not necessarily for the acne, but the day before you get your brows done and then you get your makeup done, say if you did get redness on your skin and it's inflamed, then you're putting makeup on with the brush and it's causing friction and again more redness and it's gonna be a little sensitive. But I would do brow threading. But regardless of anything, getting your brow waxed before an event or vacation or getting your makeup done, highly suggest 7 days before. Highly suggest that. Okie dokie. So say you got, you got some acne going on with your brows. You're like, oh my God, my brows, I got some acne bumps, but bring it out. I got a webcam on my forehead, like literally in my, like right here in the unibrow area. It's like right there, right in people's face. I literally just punched the mic. What do I do? How do I get this off? Oh my God. So what you can do is first, don't touch it. Let it be. I know they're ugly. I know. I get them too. I get acne on my face. I know. They're ugly. Do not touch them. When you touch them, most of the time people are not doing it in the right scenario and their hands are dirty or they're not doing it properly. So when you're not doing it properly, you are going to get scarring. You're going to get post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, which is the dark spots, or you're going to get a pitted scar. So that can happen. The other thing that can happen is that it can transfer into the other area and cause more breakouts. That's another way. Another one, you're going to interfere its healing process. That's another thing that can happen. Another thing that can happen, say if you're not being clean, because most of the time we're in our car or we're looking in a mirror somehow and we didn't wash our hands or what have you, or we're using a tool, which I highly suggest you not using one of those extractor tools, because most of the time people don't know how to use that properly and then they damage their skin. But anyway, say you're using one of those and it's not clean, and you're gonna put that on your face, and you're gonna pop your pimple, and you're gonna create an open wound. Well, guess what? That is a habitat, and putting your little spot vulnerable for staph infection. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. It's not fun, not comfortable, and I just don't know what else to say. It's just not pretty. Not pretty at all. So just try not to touch it. That is the one thing I highly suggest to you. If you need to touch it, contact your licensed esthetician, okay? Contact your licensed esthetician, your cosmetologist, your wax professional. I keep giving them so many different labels because all of us, and like I said, it's not just estheticians that wax, it's cosmetologists that wax too. But contact them, let them know, and they will help guide you through if you need to do anything further than that. So try not to touch it. If it's red and it's not white, it's not a pustule, so nothing's coming out. So you touching it is making it worse. If it's just a papule, papules are different. It's just a red bump. You touching it is making it get hangry, very, very angry. I don't know why I said hangry. Maybe I'm hangry. No, angry. It's going to be so angry and irritated, and it's going to really prolong the healing process. So with this, when this happens, just get some ice, put it in a bowl. Get a bowl, get some ice, put the ice in the bowl. Get some water, put some water in the bowl with the ice, get some gauze or cotton browns, stick that in the bowl with the water and the ice. And then you take that and you put it on your head. You put it on that area and let it sit there. I say 5 to 7 minutes or 10 minutes, however long you want. Like if you're watching TV or something, this is going to help with calming and soothing it. You can also use some fresh aloe vera. Fresh aloe vera, not synthetic aloe vera. I would get a fresh aloe vera plant and get it from there. Not synthetic aloe vera. Completely different colors. Works completely differently. You can use that too. I would not use any exfoliating products on there because you're going to, again, interfere the healing process. So I would just really, and you just got waxed, so you're going to make it even more sensitive. So don't use any exfoliating products or scrubs or anything like that. Any ingredients that have exfoliating acids, anything like that. You want to use calm, soothing products. Calm, soothing products. Say it again. Calm, soothing products. That's going to help it. What? Through its healing process. So, what are the key factors we know? Don't touch it. Let it be. And calm, soothing, healing products. Don't touch your face after waxing. Don't put makeup on right after waxing. Get it, your waxing, your brow waxing, and upper lip wax, chin wax done before, 7 days before an event. Make sure you are going to a licensed professional who is, what? Sanitary and following the laws with sanitation, and disinfecting. And if anything goes down, contact your licensed professional. Just do it. Don't look on Google. Don't look on YouTube. Don't ask your friends. Don't ask other licensed professionals. Ask the person that you got it done with. And lastly, don't wax at home. Okay. Thank you, guys. Oh, and also, P.S. recommended products that your licensed professional has suggested to you. Yeah? Alrighty. Thanks for listening to this episode. I really do hope this was helpful. And I do, I really do hope, sorry, I had to clear my throat. Let me clear my throat. I really do hope that this helped put you guys at ease and not be afraid of waxing in general, but especially getting your brows waxed and your upper lip or chin waxed, or even getting them threaded. I hope this really cleared some things that had, like I said, made you afraid of getting it if you've had a bad experience before, or you're afraid of it happening to you, you haven't had it happen because you hear people talking about it. Because at the end of the day, everybody is going to share their opinion, right? Everyone's going to share their opinion. Your family is going to share their opinion. Your friends are going to share their opinion. Social media is going to share their opinion. Your dog's going to share their opinion. The birds and the trees are going to share their opinion. But it is ultimately how you take care of it, how the licensed professional is, and that's pretty much it. That's it. That's how you solve the problem. Yay! We found the clue! Blue's Clues! But thank you so much. I hope this, like I said, was very helpful. And if you have any questions, definitely reach out to me. You know me. I love questions! Not only does it help me be able to better myself for you, but it also helps with how clearing up some things that are misunderstood. Yes, yes. Alrighty. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your time with me. And I cannot wait to talk to you, TTLR. Talk to you later. No, why did I add the R? What is the R? TTL. Talk to you later. TTYL. There we go. TTYL. And have a wonderful, beautiful rest of your day. Yes. I can't wait to hear what you've been up to, too. All right. Toodaloo, everyone. And see you guys on the flip side. If you would like to continue this conversation with me, please visit my website at www.cs-aesthetics.com. Here you will get all the information on how to book your appointments, purchasing products to upgrade your skincare routine, and how to sign up for the newsletter so you can get tips and tricks on creating your own self-love ritual, and updated information when we have our Zoom meetings. Thank you so much for listening to Confidence in Your Skin podcast, and never, ever, ever, ever forget to enhance your harmony.